We turn in sacred scripture to Judges chapter 13. Judges chapter 13. This is the beginning of the record of Judge Samson. A whole chapter devoted just to the announcement of his birth, which is striking. The text is verses 12 through 14, but let's first read the chapter. Judges chapter 13. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible, very awesome. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told he me his name. But he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. And now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us, and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, Behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, Art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, What is thy name, that when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor? And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Why seekest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? Or, seeing it is wonderful. That's literally the language. Seeing it is wonderful. Wonderful Counselor, Isaiah chapter 9. So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously. And Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto his wife, "We shall surely die, because we have seen God." But his wife said unto him, "If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would, as at this time, have told us such things as these." And the woman bare a son, and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. So far we read God's holy and infallible word. The text is verses 12 through 14. And Manoah said, "Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him?" And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, "Of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe." Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, what are the kinds of questions that you are asking in your life? One way to learn how things are going with us spiritually is to examine the questions that we are asking. One of the greatest examples of this comes from the life of the Apostle Paul. You may remember that when the Apostle Paul was converted on the road to Damascus, the first things out of his mouth were questions. Two questions. First, Paul asked, "Who art thou, Lord?" And if you remember, Jesus answered, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And then second, immediately after that, Paul asked the second question, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Now both those questions, but perhaps especially that second question, is the question that rests on the heart of the child of God. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Is that the question you are asking in your life? Now that question comes to us in various forms because of the various circumstances and callings we have in life. For parents, that kind of question comes in this form. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do with this child, or with these children whom thou hast given me? Lord, what is my child supposed to be, and how do I raise this child to attain that calling? What shall be the manner in which we raise the child whom thou hast given to us? You see, that's exactly the question that Manoah asked the angel of the Lord, and that's the question that every believing parent should be asking concerning the child or the children whom God has given them. This is no doubt the question that weighs on the hearts of Tunis and Kayla, not only with regard to little Tori, but all their children. This is the question that should interest all of us who are parents, and this is the question really as a congregation we are concerned about too. How shall we as the church raise the children of the Lord? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do in my calling and situation? Now this morning, maybe more narrowly, what wilt thou have us to do with these children whom thou dost give to us? On the occasion of baptism this morning, that's what we look at. We take as our theme, how shall we order the child? We look at three things. First, the question that Manoah asks. Second, the answer that the angel gives. And third, the hope that God's church and covenant parents have. How shall we order the child? And how shall we do unto him? That's the question. Now, in order to appreciate that question, we should understand the context in which Manoah asks the question, because it helps shed light on what he's asking. Here in Judges 13, We are in the time of the judges. And the time of the judges was, generally speaking, a time of lawlessness. Again and again, we read in the book of Judges, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did that which was right in his own eyes. That was the problem. There was no king, and everyone was doing that which was right in his own eyes. And as the young peoples know from their Bible study, we're right in the middle of Judges. In fact, we're just about to pick it up at Judges 13 when we start up again in the fall. As the young people know, the time period of the judges was characterized by a repeated cycle. First, the people fell into sin, all kinds of different sins, especially worshiping the idols of the Canaanites around them. Then, secondly, the Lord chastened them by raising up an enemy nation to oppress them. Then, third, the people learned to repent. They groaned under the oppression, and they learned to cry out to the Lord. And then, fourth, the Lord raised up a deliverer, a judge, to save them from their enemy. Well, here in Judges 13, not only are we in the time of the judges, but we are in what is, perhaps, most likely, the very worst time of the judges. Because here in Judges 13, we are at the very end of the time of the judges. Samson was born during the life of Eli. Samson lived at the same time as Samuel lived. Samson is right at the end of the judges. And the situation during the time of the judges was this. Not only did you have that repeated cycle over and over again, but as time went on, it was a downward cycle, so that more and more the people increased in their sin, and slower they were to repent of their sin. And that comes out even in the chapter we read. We read in verse 1 that Israel falls into sin. The children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. That's the first step in the cycle. They fall into sin. Then we read that the Lord delivered them into the hands of their enemy, the Philistines. That's the second step in the cycle. But now, very strikingly, nowhere do we read in this section of Israel carrying out the third step in the cycle, repenting of their sin and crying out to God for help. That part of the cycle is breaking down, so that at this late stage in the time of the judges, the Israelites aren't repenting of their sins anymore. They're not calling out for help. In fact, we read in verse 1 that God delivered Israel into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. That's the longest stretch of oppression that God gives his people in the time period of the judges. And yet, even after 40 long years, nowhere do we read of their repentance. In fact, what we do read two chapters later is that the men of Israel don't even want Judge Samson. They want to put him away. They don't want him to stir up animosity between them and the Philistines. They are happy under Philistine bondage. That's how bad things have gotten. And because the judges are pictures of Jesus Christ, what the Israelites were really saying is, we don't want Christ. And we don't want the deliverance that he brings his people, that he gives his people. That's how bad things are here in Judges 13. We may presume that when the angel of the Lord appears to Manoah and his wife, the spiritual condition of God's people was at its worst in 400 years. Manoah and his wife were a godly couple. That comes out clearly in the passage. They were a godly couple, but they lived in very dark, dark days. As God's word puts it in 1 Samuel 3, verse 1, during the same time period, the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There were not frequent visions given to God's people in these days. You remember that's in the context when Samuel hears God speaking to him in the middle of the night. Samuel, Samuel. The word of God was rare in those days. Well, that's one part of the context that we need to bear in mind. These were dark days of apostasy. A second part of the context that helps us to understand the question is this. Manoah's wife had been barren. It wasn't as if Manoah and his wife had the attitude, let's not have children. It wasn't as if Manoah and his wife said, in such dark days of apostasy, who would want children anyway? No, we may presume that Manoah and his wife wanted children. They knew they were barren. They were a godly couple, but they were barren. And part of what that means is that Manoah and his wife appreciated very keenly the fact that children are an heritage of the Lord, a gift from God. To be barren is often a very hard thing. Even the word itself has a hardness to it. And in their barrenness, Manoah and his wife understood just how precious it was to have a child from the Lord. They appreciated the longing. They appreciated the privilege of raising a child in the fear of the Lord. They were very much sensitive to this. Now, as an aside, God would use that barrenness to teach his people again a very important truth. God would use that barrenness to emphasize again that salvation comes from him and him alone. It's not by human strength. It's not by the arm of the flesh, but it's by God's doing. What is humanly impossible is possible with God. How many times doesn't God teach his people that in the Bible, even through a barren woman? Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebekah, Elkanah and Hannah, Zechariah and Elizabeth. And then with the Virgin Mary, of course, not a barren woman, but something even more spectacular, God brings forth the child from one who is a virgin. God does what is humanly impossible, emphasizing our salvation depends on God and God alone. It's a wonder of his grace. And that's what God teaches his people in the days of the judges, even through this history. Manoah and his wife, unable to have children, yet from them comes the deliverer. But now to stick to the point is, Manoah and his wife knew how precious it was to have a child from the Lord. And now knowing these details, knowing this context, helps us to appreciate the question that Manoah is asking. The angel of the Lord appears to Manoah's wife. He tells her she's going to have a baby. Manoah's wife believes the angel right away, even though she doesn't know who he is, but he's a man from God. She tells Manoah. Manoah asks for a second visit from the angel, so the angel of the Lord comes again, and now Manoah asks the question, how shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? And perhaps just in the way it's worded and recorded in verse 12, you can sense the urgency and the sincerity and the concern of Manoah's question. Here's this couple that has been barren for years, and now they suddenly hear that they will be given a son. They're going to be first-time parents. Maybe you remember, some of you, how overwhelming that experience was to be first-time parents. And not only that, but we read in verse 5 that the angel had told Manoah's wife that the child she would bring forth will begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. This child is going to be of monumental national and spiritual significance. This child is going to be a hero of faith. This child is going to be a picture of the coming Redeemer and Deliverer. And so you can understand the urgency and the sincerity and concern in Manoah's question. We're going to be parents. We've never been parents before. We need help. Not only this, but we live in the day of great apostasy and wickedness. We need help. This child is going to serve in a special role in the history of God's church. We don't know what we're doing. We need help. How shall we order the child? And how shall we do to him? And what Manoah is asking is this. In what manner are we supposed to raise this child? And then how are we supposed to do it? Those are two distinct questions. What is my child supposed to be? And how am I supposed to raise him in view of that calling that he will be given? What kind of life is he supposed to be trained for? What kind of life is he going to have? And then second, what is the way in which we are to raise him so that he's prepared for that life? That's the question. Now, congregation, I hope with all this information you can appreciate what Manoah is asking. And we can bring this question to bear upon us this morning. The question for us this morning is this. Is this the kind of question that we're asking too? Sometimes we lose sight of the questions we're supposed to be asking because we're so earthly minded and we have all kinds of earthly questions. Is this the question that we're asking? Now we know for little Tori is not the first child born to Tunis and Kayla. They know a little bit about parenting, but still the reality hits them. This is a covenant child. This is a child of the Lord. We need help. We live in days of great apostasy, great wickedness, just like in the days of Samson, where it seems like there's a willingness on part of the members of the church even to adopt the rule and the lifestyle of the Philistines around us. We need help. Maybe there are other parents here this morning who are really asking this question because they feel their need for help. Their children are difficult children. They're covenant children, but they are difficult children. And parents can often feel like a failure. I feel so often at my wit's end. I need help. And so you ask the Lord in prayer, Lord, how shall we order the child and how shall we do unto him? Lord, help us. And parents, I hope you see and gain some comfort from the fact that there's nothing new under the sun. The same feelings of inadequacy that we have today are the same feelings of inadequacy that God's devout people have experienced in days gone by. In every age, God's people have needed help in raising God's children. In every age, God's people have had to ask the Lord for guidance and instruction. And in every age, God has shown his faithfulness to his people, answering their prayers. Well, before we get to that answer that the Lord gives, I want to point out a few things. First, I want to point out, this is a good question to ask. This is not a bad question. This is not an embarrassing question. When Manoah asked the angel of the Lord, even though the angel has told his wife the answer, and Manoah is now asking the angel doesn't ridicule him, but in patience, he gives Manoah that same instruction. So it's a good question. Not only is this question a good question, but it shows that Manoah and his wife have a teachable spirit, and they have a selfless spirit. They want to raise the child the way that the Lord wants the child to be raised. Not the way that they want the child raised, but the way the Lord wants him raised. They have servants' hearts. They know that this child is not their own, but belongs to the Lord. I can see for parents who've never had children before, that they might say, oh, now's my opportunity to indulge all that I've wanted to do with a child. Right? Give it the perfect nursery, lavish it with all kinds of gifts. But Manoah and his wife's concern is, how does the Lord want us to handle this child? And in addition to that, the question shows that for Manoah and his wife, God is the Lord of their home, and they trusted him. And that comes out in the fact that they believe the angel right away. They have strong faith. They expect a child to come, even though the child hasn't even been conceived yet. They receive this from the Lord, and they listen to the instruction of the angel. They listen. All in all, Manoah and his wife reflect virtues that parents today should be careful to imitate. And so I want to ask the question again. Is this a question that you are asking for your infant child, for your toddler, for your teenager? What is my child supposed to do, to be? And what is the way in which we are to raise him so that he's prepared for that life? That needs to be the question we're asking. Our children are not our own. They're the Lord's. That's been emphasized to us again through baptism. We are not our own. We've been purchased with the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's true for our children too. And so we are to do with them what the Lord wills. And so you have the question. Well, the answer now that Manoah receives from the angel is found in verses 13 and 14. Let's read verses 13 and 14. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink. Notice the difference there. Wine was more watered down. We've talked about that before. Wine was more watered down. Strong drink was a heavier kind of wine. Nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. And with that answer, the angel is answering both of Manoah's questions. First of all, the angel answers the question, how shall we order the child? What is my child supposed to be? What is the manner in which I'm supposed to raise the child? And the answer is, as a Nazarite, You must raise him as a Nazarite. That's what the angel is saying. Now, maybe you children don't know what a Nazarite is. The laws for the Nazarite are given in Numbers chapter 6. A Nazarite, the word Nazarite itself means devoted or to be separate. A Nazarite was an Israelite who took a vow of holiness to the Lord. By his or her life and by his vow and fulfilling that vow, the Nazarite would be a very powerful picture to all the people of one who is separate from sin and one who is entirely devoted to the Lord. Now that holiness of the Nazarite was shown in especially three ways. First, the Nazarite might not eat of anything that grows on the vine or drink wine or strong drink. Second, the Nazarite may not cut his hair or her hair. He had to let it grow long. Long hair was a picture of strength. And then third, the Nazarite was not permitted to touch anything on any dead body or anything unclean. Now this little baby Samson, who hasn't even been conceived yet, was to be raised as a Nazarite. And what is interesting about Samson is that Samson is not a Nazarite by a vow that Samson himself takes. That's usually how a person became a Nazarite in the Old Testament. As an adult, a person, a man or a woman, would take a vow to be a Nazarite, either for a shorter period of time or for a longer period of time. But in Samson's case, God set Samson apart as a Nazarite even from before his conception. And Samson is not going to be a Nazarite just for a few days or a few weeks or a few months, but Samson will be a Nazarite until the day of his death, all life long. Now, what we should know about a Nazarite is that, again, a Nazarite was a reminder to all the people of who they were in Christ and of how they were supposed to live. Not that all the people were supposed to be actual Nazarites, but the point was all the people were supposed to be wholly devoted to the Lord and separate from sin. And by not drinking wine, by not having his hair cut, and by not touching a dead body, the Nazarite would be a visible reminder, a stark reminder to those around him that they themselves also were to be consecrated to the Lord and to be kept from what is unclean. God had delivered them out of a fallen world, made them a people for himself through Jesus Christ. They were to be holy to the Lord. Well, in Samson's day, there were probably not very many people taking the Nazarite vow, because the people were a very wicked people. They were not devoting themselves to the Lord. And so now the Lord is going to raise up Samson, not just as a judge, but as a Nazarite, to remind the people of what they were called to be. This is how Manoah and his wife were to raise this child the Lord was giving them. Raise him as a Nazarite. Now, congregation, the reality is, that's exactly the same answer that God gives to us today. What is my child supposed to be? What am I supposed to be? What is my child supposed to be? In what manner are we to live and raise our children? Answer, raise him, raise her, raise little Tori as a Nazarite. Now, not as a Nazarite as it took its Old Testament form, but as a true Nazarite, spiritually speaking. Raise your children to be holy. Raise your children so that they are set apart from sin and devoted to the Lord. And do it from the womb. From the womb, train your child for a godly life. Train your children for a life which sets them apart from the world, unashamedly devoted to the Lord. And this is really what we emphasize when we emphasize that our children are covenant children. Our children don't volunteer to become covenant children. Our children don't first make a vow to be a covenant child, but God says to covenant parents, just like he said to Manoah and his wife, as the sovereign Lord over them, he says, these children are my children, I give them to you, and these are my instructions for raising my children. Raise them as covenant children, spiritual Nazarites, wholly devoted to the Lord. And I can imagine that when a young couple finds out that they are pregnant, maybe for the first time, maybe for the sixth time, that this suddenly becomes a prayer of theirs every day. Lord, already now, while this child is in the womb, shape and mold this child to be a child after thine own heart. Now you think back on what it was like in Samson's day, and you can think of how odd it must have been for Samson to grow up the way that he did. Samson was a boy who had long hair. I wonder what all Samson's classmates at school would have said about Samson's long hair. Maybe the children would have mocked him or made fun of him. You see, already as a little boy, Samson must have been standing out from the crowd. But the point is, were the people getting the message? Did the people actually appreciate how Samson was a constant reminder, even as a little boy running around, a constant reminder of their calling to be holy to the Lord? And the point I want to make again is that this is how it should be for our children today too. Not that our boys have long hair, but that spiritually our children stand out as different from the children of unbelievers. They are different, and that should be clear as they're running around playing. Even as a witness to us, they should be a reminder to us. And we have that in school programs, don't we? Or in Christmas programs. We see the children and then we're reminded, oh yes, I need to be devoted to the Lord that same way. And even if our children get mocked for being godly children, even if our children themselves feel how they are different from other children, like Samson must have felt, this is how God would have us raise our children. Never mind that. That's a special calling you have, Samson. That's a special calling you have, covenant child, to be devoted to the Lord. And so the question comes, are you raising your children to be different from the children of the world around you? The children of this world, they're devoted to sports. They're devoted to money. They're devoted to themselves. That's how the children of our society are being raised. Be devoted to yourself. The children of this world aren't taught to honor father and mother. They're given entirely over to materialism, entertainment, recreation. Parents are encouraging their children to seek an earthly kingdom. They're teaching their children that lusting is okay. Alternative lifestyles at ever younger ages are being taught to the children. And they make all kinds of accommodations for their children, for dancing, for parties, for sins. I'll be your designated driver. Unholy friendships, unholy dating relationships. The question is, are we raising our children to be spiritual Nazarites that are holy to the Lord? Well, we might say, well, Samson was a Nazarite because he was going to be a special picture of Jesus Christ. As judge, he's pointing ahead to Jesus Christ. Is it proper then to apply what Manoah and his wife were called to do to ourselves today? Well, the fact is, our children, as covenant children, bear the image of Jesus Christ. And that should be how we raise them, so that more and more they learn to reflect the image of Jesus Christ. How should we raise our children? We must raise our children to be holy. That's the answer to the first question. How shall we order the child? Raise him to be a Nazarite, holy to the Lord. Then the second question Manoah asked was this. How shall we do unto him? That is, how do we do this? We know now that he's to be raised as a Nazarite, but how do we do that? We know that our children are to be devoted to the Lord, but how do we do that? And the answer that the angel gives in verses 13 and 14 is very instructive, even though it might not seem instructive at first. What does he say? Basically, he says, all that I commanded her, let her observe. All that I commanded her, let her observe. And there's a few things to point out about that answer, significant for us today. First of all, what the angel of the Lord is saying is this. Obey. Obey my word. That's how you raise your children to be holy. It's as simple as that. Obey what I have commanded. Don't raise your children according to your preferences, according to your purposes, according to your understanding. raise your children according to my commandments, according to my word. Trust the instruction that I have given you in my word. And notice what the angel says. All that I commanded her, let her observe. Not some. Don't pick and choose what you think is good and right. All that I have commanded. Don't pick and choose what part of the Bible that you want to obey. Trust it as the word of God and obey it. And how do we raise God's covenant children today? It's the same thing. We obey his word. And what that means is also that we know his word and we inquire after God's word. We have the same urgency and sincerity and concern to know God's word as Manoah had the urgency and sincerity and concern to hear again the instruction from the angel. We pray just as diligently as Manoah did. Lord, reveal thy will to us. Open thy word and cause us to know thy will. That first of all, obey God's commandments. And that means be in his word. I've had to apply this to myself. How can I honestly think that I'm a Christian parent if I'm not actually in God's word, learning what God is teaching me? How can I call myself a Christian parent if I'm not in God's word? And you know what's so powerful when you heed that instruction and you are in the word and you take that approach? What's so powerful is that you become an example at the very same time for your children. You teach them by your own example. You teach them by your own pursuit of God's commandments. Your holy life, your life as a Nazarite in which you're separated from sin and wholly sold over to the will of the Lord, your holy life, God himself will use to teach the children that come after you. They will see, already as young children, they will understand, this is meaningful. This is real. This is not just children's stuff. No, but my parents themselves are Nazarites, devoted to the Lord. It's good for me as a child to be devoted to the Lord because this is even how my godly, good, loving parents live their lives. You know, our children can see very clearly the glaring inconsistencies in our lives. They can see it. They can see it when we are giving ourselves excuses, when we're minimizing our sins, when we cover over our sins with clever words that we use. Our children get it. Our children can see when we are more concerned about how we appear in front of others than how we appear in the privacy of our own homes before the Lord. And when Manoah asks the angel of the Lord how he is to raise up this little boy, the angel says, obey my word. That's fundamental. Not just while the child's in your womb, but really your whole life long. Obey my word. There's no magic formula. There's no secret tricks. All that I have commanded, observe. Then second of all, in answer to this second question, how are we to raise him as a Nazarite? Second of all, the angel is telling Manoah this. First, he said, obey my word. Second, he's saying, live a life of self-denial. That's how you raise your children to be holy. Live a life of self-denial. And I bring that up because that comes out so clearly in the calling that Manoah's wife had. Right now, even before the baby is conceived, and then, of course, for the 9 months while the baby's in your womb, you need to be a Nazarite and observe the law of the Nazarite. Put away that glass of wine. Exercise self-denial, Manoah's wife. And this really emphasizes what's already been said. If the child is going to be a Nazarite, it starts with the parent. It starts with Manoah and Manoah's wife, in this particular case especially, living as a Nazarite. Now, isn't that the case also today? How do I raise my child to be holy? Well, obey God's word, and then second, by living holy, self-denying lives. That's the fundamental rule of the Christian life. And that's the fundamental rule of Christian parenting. The fundamental law of growth and holiness and godliness is self-denial. We'll hear that this afternoon. Conversion. The mortification of the old man, denying myself denying those lusts of the flesh, my own preferences, and the quickening of the new man, living out of the new man, out of Christ to God's glory. And this is the case for parents in a special way. God has given you his children to raise. Now is the time, not for laziness, but for girding up your robe and walking that spiritual pilgrimage of self-denial as a parent. And that in many ways is how God also blesses parents through the children God gives them. Parents grow in holiness as they experience what it means to live in self-denial for the lambs God gives them. And we have that too in our marriages, whether we have children or not, or as a member in the church. We grow in holiness as we learn to live as brothers and sisters in the church in communion with each other, esteeming others better than ourselves, looking out for each other, living for the other members of the body. We grow in holiness. Well, maybe that's a word of encouragement, especially for mothers. Manoah's wife really takes the spotlight in a certain sense. Don't take that the wrong way, but she's the focus here. The command comes to her. And maybe mothers today, in their own unique way, experience what it is to be a Nazirite as they have to carry out their calling before the Lord. Fathers as well, but mothers too. You feel that life of self-denial. Well, be encouraged, mothers of Zion. This is very pleasing to the Lord. He knows the calling he has given you. He knows it's a self-denying calling. He knows the grace you need for your calling. And he is pleased with the self-denial you exercise in the faithful rearing of his children as an expression of thankfulness for the deliverance he's given you in Jesus Christ. And he most certainly hears your prayers. And for all of us, we should remember how Jesus was the Nazirite. We talk about how we're called to be Nazirites. He was the Nazirite in the deepest, fullest, purest sense of the word. Not that he had long hair or didn't drink wine. He did those things. He did cut his hair. Well, we may presume that. He didn't live as an Old Testament Nazirite. He did drink wine. But Jesus was the one who was perfectly devoted to the Lord. He was the one who was rich in glory and thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And yet he lived the life of self-denial. He obeyed the word of the triune God that sent him to the earth. He willingly, voluntarily lived that life in order that we might be Nazirites devoted to the Lord. And it is only in him and by his Spirit that we can live and do live lives consecrated to the Lord. So with that short answer that the angel gives, the angel fully answers Manoah's question. What is the child supposed to be, and how do we raise him in that way? Answer, he's called to be a Nazirite. Raise him by obeying my word and live in self-denial. That's the summary of it. But now we must ask, what is the hope? Manoah and his wife were now given a monumental task. Raising this child was going to be of preeminent importance. Upon what would they rest their hope? Well, their hope wasn't going to be in themselves. As godly parents, they understood how insufficient they would be to the task. Their hope wasn't in themselves. Neither was their hope going to be in that little boy born to them. The baby himself was going to be born and grow up with a sinful nature. And as we know, he was going to give his parents a lot of grief during his life, wasn't he? Yet the child was a covenant child. And he was a hero of faith. And if you would study the history, you would see that Samson was, in fact, jealous of who he was as a Nazirite. He didn't rebel against being a Nazirite. He wasn't cutting his hair as a young boy. But he values it. From his childhood onward, he guards his hair. Even with Delilah at the very end when he falls, he's got his sinful nature, but he still wants to protect who he is as a Nazirite. And there's that struggle, and we know he falls at that time. But Samson knows that it's a blessing to be a Nazirite. He is devoted to the Lord. He lays down his life in the service of the Lord. And our covenant children should have that same attitude. But our hope isn't in our covenant children. Our hope is in the Lord, Jehovah, the covenant God. Manoah and his wife lived by faith in the words of the angel. They knew who that angel was. That angel was the pre-incarnate Christ. He was the deliverer. He is the one who is the Alpha and Omega, who is always the same, whose word is always true. They trusted their covenant God. And they proceeded with their new calling as parents, trusting the covenant faithfulness and mercy of Jehovah God. Ultimately, their hope wasn't in their son, but their hope was in the son whom their son would point to. Their hope was in the seed of the woman, Jesus Christ. He would be the Savior. He would be the judge of his people, delivering them from all their enemies. He would not just begin to deliver Israel from the hand of the Philistines, but he would show himself to be the complete Savior of his people, the author and finisher of their faith. And that's where our hope is too. Our God has given us Christ. By the blood and spirit of Christ, our sins are washed away. We've been comforted and edified by that truth this morning. We are God's covenant children. He has declared also that his promise is to us and to our children. He has promised that he will supply all our need, whatever that need is. In our Christian walk, he will supply all our need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And he has promised that he will never leave us nor forsake us. That's our hope. And Tunis and Kayla, let Jehovah be your hope too as you take up this calling to raise up this little girl in the fear of the Lord, holy to the Lord, as a Nazarite indeed. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank thee for the calling that thou hast given us in Jesus Christ, the calling unto salvation, that internal call of the gospel to come and to rest in Jesus Christ, that effectual call whereby we do come and rest in Christ. And we thank thee then for all the earthly callings that thou hast given us besides. We pray for thy blessing upon us. Our hope is in thee. And where we have questions, Lord, answer those questions in thy mercy and show us the way that we are to go, even as thou in thy mercy didst show Manoah and his wife the way that they were to go. And thou didst prove thyself faithful to the word that thou didst speak to them. And we thank thee for the great judge and deliverer, Jesus Christ, in whom is all our confidence. Hear us for his sake. Amen.